Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Is it the Indictment Monday edition, Dominic?
Happy Indictment Monday. Happy first day of spring. Crudy, Evan, working the board. Our fair audience, a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. Welcome.
Dom, there are a number of headlines I'd like to get to today. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election. It's going off 2 weeks from what? Tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's coming up very rapidly.
Yes, it is.
And also, Dom, on the local scene, Winker ain't running. Scott Walker is not running. But the question I would ask you and the audience, who was asking him to run in the first place? Who's asking? Well, apparently, let's go here because, you know, it's Walker bashing, and it's been a while, Dom.
It's been a while, yeah. It's one of our favorite things to do. It is so justified. It's been some time. And so he gives us an opportunity. Scott Walker opens the door for the criticism, Crudy. So I think we have to walk through it.
Here is part of the headline at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I would be bored as a senator.
Yes, it's a very deliberative buddy.
I'm getting it. Getting out over in front of your skis, Dom. Like the likelihood that this man would actually win election, because of course what they're talking about is going against Tammy Baldwin. You ain't beating no Tammy Baldwin, you white bread Scotty wanker. You're not gonna beat Tammy. She is a progressive shiro. She's got backbone, and you lack for both of those things. Anyways, Dom, new reporting. It captured my attention immediately.
I know, man.
Bill Glauber, former two-term Republican Governor Scotty Wanker, is closing the door to a potential 2024 U.S. Senate run.
No,
say it ain't so,
no,
Wanker.
Man, what am I going to tell my kids?
Bud has left another one open for a future presidential campaign. But not in this cycle.
Yeah, timing might be wrong for you this time again, Scotty.
Dominic asked if he was interested in challenging Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin next year. Wanker made it clear he's sticking with his job as the president of the Young Nazis Foundation. I mean, Young Americans Foundation, a conservative youth organization.
Because when you think of leader of youth, you think Scott Walker.
I think they all have matching brown shirts, don't they, Dom? Here is a quote he gave to the Journal Sentinel. Plus, I don't see myself in the Senate, Walker told the Journal Sentinel Monday. After getting so much done as governor, I would be bored as senator.
Oh, wow. Just think about all the money you could take, though, Scott Walker. I mean, he got a lot done. The painter's money, and he took the Foxconn money. I mean, he did lots as governor.
Go ahead.
No, right, I'll jump in here. Bill Glauber reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Walker said he's committed to Young America's Foundation through at least 2025. He said that work is important, noting that in the 2022 Wisconsin race for governor, Evers piled up huge margins among those 18 to 29 years old. Last week, Walker told the New York Times that he still had presidential aspirations, just not this year. In 2016, Walker was briefly the Republican frontrunner before dropping out of the race. Evers unseated Walker as governor in 2018.
That's like saying the Hindenburg soared high briefly before crashing down.
So, or like Tucker Carlson will represent Scott Walker, front runner in the 2016 presidential campaign. You never, you know, you don't got to worry about what happens after the fact. Glauber reports in a separate interview with the General Sentinel last week, Walker said, quote, I'm literally 25 years younger than President Biden, so I have time. I have time. The work I'm doing with young people right now is so critically important. When you look at the margins, the 18 to 21-year-olds, 75% or higher are voting liberal.
It's because your ideas suck, Wanker.
We have to get our core values aligned with where they have been in the past. We need to make inroads, or it won't matter if I run or anyone else does.
Well, maybe someone more charismatic than you, Wanker. It would matter. A better candidate than Scott Walker might attract young voters, Tom.
Well, a better leader than Scott Walker might lead young voters. But when you talk about your core values being aligned to where they've been in the past, I mean, isn't this exactly what the Republicans, the MAGAs, want? No abortion under any circumstances? Isn't that what your values are aligned to? That you got your wish. Congratulations. Oh, but it sucks electorally because most people don't want that. So that becomes a little problematic. I'd love to see how you're going to align your fascist nationalist Christian beliefs with, the majority of Americans. Glauber concludes, Wisconsin Republicans still don't have any announced candidates to take on Baldwin next year. Baldwin has not officially announced she's running for a third term. Several Republicans are weighing the race, including Madison businessman Eric Hovde, former Milwaukee.
Did not do the spin room, but Donald Trump did. So Donald Trump was wowing hearts and minds, and Scott Walker was big shot.
Big shot. Too big to come to the spin room. Leading in the polls shortly thereafter.
How'd that work out for him, Donald?
Nah, not great. Bowed out after going on tour and spending money like a roadie with unlimited checkbook.
But you know what? He's like Rick Santorum for the rest of his life. He will be a multi-time failed presidential candidate eventually. He'll throw himself out there with 10 other Republicans, and him and Rick Santorum and a bunch of others will be the losers of the next race.
Do you have to do anything else? I mean, if he runs in 2028, that means he's what? He hasn't been in politics, quote unquote, for 10 years, or you know what I mean? I mean, come on. So hey, look at my leadership of the Young Americas Foundation, which is what? Probably a payoff from big money groups to pay for the Ronald Reagan.
I strongly suspect.
And spread some money around for guys like Scott Walker to keep him on the bench and try to go and convince young people. I mean, Scott Walker as senator? I mean, it's not that you would be bored as senator, Scott Walker. You'd be the dumbest senator. I know a lot of people call Ron Johnson our dumb senator right now. No more Ron Johnson, right? But Ron Johnson, I think, is way smarter than Scott Walker.
Cum laude over Walker.
I mean, dumb and dumber? What an embarrassment. Either one of them. And all the things he got done, he'd be bored because he was so successful here in the state of Wisconsin.
And again, I wonder, who was asking? Literally, who was like, man, Scott Walker, what about that guy? Yeah. I don't even think Tonette was asking, hey, Scott, you even thinking about it? I think he's he decided after ending his presidential campaign in debt, and he began his campaign in debt. He was the only presidential candidate I've ever seen with a net negative worth.
He was minus net worth.
A negative net worth. My bad. If I didn't state it properly,
I got you. Yeah.
I would hope that I have a positive net worth. Right. So I've never stated it to the negative, at least not for some years, but Scott Walker did. On his disclosure, when the guy ran, he was $73,500 in the hole before he ran for president. And when he ended, 71 days, it was a short campaign. Yeah. He was a shadow candidate for so long, right?
He was a shadow candidate for a multiple of times he was an actual candidate.
But by the time he actually got around to declaring in July and going to the Iowa, you know, the Iowa State Fair, man, he was worried about two walls, building another wall to the north, and of course ripping signs out of protesters' hands. He seemed quite desperate already by August, early August. The man was already desperate, and by September, he was home on the bench. I know. I like to think we helped send him there, Tom.
It was glorious. And why did Scott Walker get out of the race? Do you recall, Curdy?
Well, because he was polling 0.0
okay,
in Iowa.
But we know that. But what did he say at that podium?
Well, to clear the field for a more conservative to beat Donald Trump, of course.
Yeah, of course. And how'd that work out?
Not so well.
No. They merged their agendas, and now, I mean, does Scott Walker, do you still support Donald Trump?
Oh, he does if he wins the nomination, Dom. You know, you sat down the bar from Scott Walker. Scott Walker's party, we crashed. David Blaska invited us.
We were invited, and we said, yes, we will drink your free beer. Thank you.
And you sat feet away from Scott Walker. You could have just rubbed it in. Hey, man, how you liking the Trump convention? Could have been yours, wanker. Hey, Dom, this song you hear in the background, this is for reason, this warrant, this cherry pie.
Cherry pie, yeah.
I got to tell you a little secret on the other side. I fixed a pie auction this weekend.
You fixed it?
I fixed it.
Very Trumpy of you.
I took home a cherry berry pie. At the end of the night. I didn't even know I'd fixed
pie,
it.
Man.
I'll tell you the story. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. We're so sweet. You'll want to hear it all.
Wanker. What would you say you do here?
I used to run track.
You got nothing.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
So, Dom, we like to compare notes. How was your weekend? Oh, good. How about yours? I fixed a pie auction.
Why would you do that?
First and foremost, thank you to all the fine organizers and attendees of the Wisconsin Grassroots Network Festival. And they had the 2023 edition. It had been some years since we had seen so many of those friends in person. So great to see Nate Timms doing real good after the stroke. And Chris McDonough from Sun Prairie, you know, one of our favorite people. And Dom, I got the opportunity to give a speech, and it was pretty well received. Although the woman who was holding up the time cues, I mean, the crowd was loving me, Dom. Just in my mind, they were loving me.
Yeah.
But I still got the time card, like 1 minute, wrap it up. So I did. You know,
heartbreak, baby, heartbreak.
I closed it down, and I was very encouraged about the interest in what we're trying to build here at Civic Media. So many inquisitive people, so many people had nice comments and questions, and so many said, I listen to you guys every day. I said, you're the real patriots. But anyways, it got to be the lunch hour, Dom. And, you know, I was a invited speaker, and many people were giving contributions, donations, when they came to attend. Well, I hadn't been asked to do that, and I had been speaking and meeting nice people all day, and it was the first opportunity I had all day to maybe do my part. had gone to the cash machine down the road in Black Earth on the way, got some money in my pocket. And Chris from Sun Prairie is going to be the pie auctioneer. And I could tell, she even said, I'm a little nervous. I said, this first one, we're going to make the first one go quick and easy. I said, let's start with that cherry berry one. So anyways, I'm sitting right in the front, right by her and Jerry, who's, you know, her secondary auctioneer guy. She said, the bidding starts at $20. I said, 20. You know, I'm throwing up two figures, 20. And then a guy in the back, he's 30. And then now I'm up to 40. And then she said, 40. She's looking at me. I got up, you know, four figures now. I'm holding up my four. She looks at the guy in the back, and this guy's talking to someone. And, you know, if you've ever been to an auction, he's beleaguering the point. You know, he's dragging it out, make us wonder, am I going to have to pay more than $40 for this freaking pie? And apparently I did not. So I won the pie, threw down my $40, grabbed my pie, got the heck out, put it in the car, and I had to go give another little engagement, little breakout session in the afternoon. And I see Sarah Lloyd, who's been on the show before. She's run for office in the great state of Wisconsin, often known for her rural advocacy. And I see her in the hallway, and she's got her own pie. And I said, oh, great pies here. She goes, yeah, but the one you got was supposed to be mine. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I also bid $40. I bid $40 before you bid $40. And I don't know if it's because I was right near. She also, she thought she was the one that had bid 40. So she didn't raise my bid. Man, I could have ended up spending $50-$60 for that pie. Because that I had already decided that first pie, I was going to buy the first pie. Then people could see me doing my little part and putting money back in the till. So, I mean, man, I could have ended up $60, $70 for that pie, for all I know. Because I was going to win the first one. It wasn't about getting a pie. It was about getting the first pie. But apparently I rigged the auction.
Oh, come on, man. Crudy, I have one question.
Yes.
Did the pie make it home, or did you pull a three-finger DeSantis on the way and just eat it in the car, man?
That's so disgusting. I would never do that. I mean, maybe I would touch the crust and, like, break off a little piece. But, like, the jelly, the – no, never. No. I have self-respect.
Well, you are not presidential material,
but
obviously.
I will this homemade pie – this thing's like, it's like a claymore, dude. It's like 32 pounds. This pie, it had heft to it. So I've only gone through about 8,000 of the calories so far. It is so sweet. I had to get a little vanilla just to kiss with it.
A little vanilla ice cream?
No, little vanilla.
Just to
a little
alamone.
Yes, it was too sweet.
So you got an ice cream.
And it takes a little something off it with the vanilla. Excellent. It was excellent.
That's awesome. Well done, Crudy.
I didn't know I was fixing the auction. Chris did not know she was my co-conspirator. But, you know, the very first pie she ever auctioned off, you know, look around. Maybe there's multiple people. Me and Sarah could still be in a bidding war. We might still be looking for that cherry berry pie. I'd have stayed till I got it. Or I ran out of cash, whichever
you,
came first.
I know that you are a big fan of the cherry pie, Michael. I'm very proud of you.
Much
you
more so than the former governor, Scott Walker.
I'm happy you didn't three-finger DeSantis that pie in the car on the way home.
I did not. You know, I never even considered it because it was in a pie box. And then
was
I went
it in
home.
The back, or was it like the seat next to you? Did you like ponder, like, should I get a fork and maybe eat some of this? Or?
That's a good question, but probably because I had the gear and such, you know. I couldn't tell you. There were so many. I was overwhelmed with the sentiment towards civic media. And I mean that in all sincerity. There were so many nice people, and I had so many conversations. And I was out there at 8:30 in the morning, ish. You know, and shows didn't start till 9, but I was there to set up the gear and make sure. And I had to give a speech at 9 and another class and a speech and a breakout and lots of people in between. Dude, I got to tell you, my mouth was tired. You know, like my brain, like it was a lot.
Yeah, a lot of engagement. Yeah, being on nonstop for hours and hours and hours. That's tiring, man.
So I went home.
Ate some pie.
Took a little nap. And I thought to myself, before I eat any more of that pie, needs a little vanilla. Could really use some vanilla. Dom, you know, we got a Wisconsin Supreme Court race coming up.
Yes.
And my understanding, new reporting from The Guardian. How could this little Supreme Court race, this sleepy little spring election, affect the presidency of the United States? And will there be pie a la mode? That's a question I always ask.
There better be.
You
two scoops
join
of
us.
Ice cream for you, Crudy.
Oh, yeah, that's the Trump style.
Yeah.
I usually get two pieces of pie and one scoop each.
Why limit yourself, man?
844-967-2789. Come back with us. There might be pie.
Was that pie I smell? I'm pretty sure that's the smell of your mom's apple pie.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I wonder if indictments were dropped somewhere in the Manhattan DA's office. We'll find out soon, I suspect. Trump's trying to weaponize the mob. Said Tuesday could be a rest day. We'll talk about that in the happier happy hour. We'll take your phone calls this hour, 844-967-2789. Dom, the singular Wisconsin Supreme Court debate happens tomorrow. And we're broadcasting it right here on the Civic Media Network, 6 p.m. That will be a replay. It's going to happen sort of awkwardly timed, 12:45 p.m. I know, made for no one's calendar. 12:45 p.m. We will record it. But by the time you and I come to airwaves tomorrow, Dom, I suspect we'll have a few sound bites to work with. The contemptuous Dan Kelly, contemptuous of the Constitution and Wisconsin voters, and my preferred candidate, Janet Protasiewicz, probably not perfect, but a hell of a lot better than the other guy.
Oh, not even close.
So we can look forward to that. And you may question, you heard Terry Bell, our news director, say, playing out on most civic media stations. I can tell you this, playing out on all civic media stations, because we now have a tip-off time for the Badgers. Badgers, the only brackets I have not busted are my Badger NIT brackets. They're going to play tomorrow, Matthew Knight Arena, Eugene, Oregon, 8 p.m. Central Time start. The Wisconsin Supreme Court debate replay will happen immediately following the greatest radio show ever, 6 p.m. Central Time. That will be about a one-hour broadcast. And then Badger pregame on WFHR. In Richland Center on WRCE and up there in Lake Air Country, WLAK Amory. Those will be our Badger affiliates. And unlike the NCAA, we can stream these games. So start with WFHR. Find the Badger game tomorrow night. The Learfield broadcast will have it on the network. Debate plus a game. Bonus, baby.
Yeah, tough Marquette loss yesterday. Sorry to all my Marquette
friends. I was, as we have Marquette on WIRI and we have Marquette on WXCO, I was rooting for a long run, man. I wanted to see him in the championship game, but yeah, the season's over. And I was rooting for him, Coach Guy, I promise. But I did have Michigan State. I did see, pragmatically, I thought they were going to run into the Tom Izzo buzzsaw, and they did.
And did you have Purdue win it at all?
I did. Yeah. How'd that work out? Pretty sure I had Arizona going a ways as well. A few teams just didn't fare well in my brackets.
Great for the underdogs. Been a lot of fun to watch.
I haven't even looked back. You know, Princeton pretty much, well, Fairlane Dickinson or whatever it was, FTU, they ended my reign. But anyways, I wasn't going to win anyways.
Short-lived reign.
It's politics we do around here, baby. Can't expect me to be good at doing March brackets. Come on, you didn't even do one.
I know, I got there too late.
So let's talk about the only bracket that matters. We're down to two.
Two.
April 4th is your championship. Janet Protasiewicz against Dan Kelly. Dom, the Guardian, has got a little coverage there of this Wisconsin judicial election could decide the next U.S. president.
What?
Fella, how could that be?
Kurdy Democrats must throw everything they have into this race and not neglect potentially pivotal voters of color. Andy Wong reporting at TheGuardian.com. I'll start this out. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which has been described as the most important election this year, takes place on April 4th in less than 3 weeks. It is also is already the most expensive of its kind in U.S. history. In this race, voters of color will once again be the key to electing a candidate who can safeguard our democracy. The question of whether Trump or another Republican election denier will have a second chance to try to disrupt a democratically decided election, and this time perhaps succeed, could be determined by this one judicial election in the Midwest. Recognizing what's at stake, both sides have spent a staggering $27 million so far in this race. I've seen numbers from WisPolitics already over 30, Kurdy. The election will likely be tight, and every vote will count. Wisconsin is majority white, around 80%, but the state is also at least 20% people of color, according to census data. If Democrats fail to prioritize investing in mobilizing voters of color and inspiring them to turn out to vote, they may lose. Typically, this type of judicial election would barely register as a blip in Wisconsin, let alone gain as much national attention. But the stakes in this battleground state are sky high, not only because Wisconsin's future hangs in the balance when it comes to abortion, civil rights, redistricting, and elections policy, but also because the judicial seat could be crucial to ensuring a fair presidential election outcome in 2024. In 2020, Kurdy, the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected by a one-vote margin, an effort by Trump allies to challenge the election result. The state's seven-member court has been controlled by conservatives since 2008, and the winner of this race will serve a 10-year term. The progressive Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Proce, which is up against conservative Daniel Kelly, a former state Supreme Court justice appointed by Walker, who lost his seat in 2020. Kelly is a Trump ally who provided legal support to an effort by Republicans to overturn the 2020 elections results through the use of fake electors. On the surface, Kurdy Protase, which may seem to be in the better position funding-wise, but according to Ad Impact, Protase, which campaign has spent about $9.1 million in the past few weeks on TV ads, and outside groups supporting her have spent $2 million. But forces on the right, namely conservative billionaires like Barry Side, Trump's judge whisperer Leonard Leo of the Federalist Society, and the Ulines shipping supply magnate family, are expected to inject millions for Kelly, most likely in TV ads, painting Protasiewicz as soft on crime. Already, almost $4 million have poured in for Kelly from these and other outside funders. And there's plenty more, Kurdy, where that came from.
According to this author, yet Democrats might sleep on properly investing in mobilizing voters. How do we know? Because national Democrats failed to truly step up when it came time to support Mandela Barnes' U.S. Senate campaign last fall. Groups on the right spent $62 million on behalf of Republican Ron Johnson, compared with the left's $41 million for Barnes. The right's $29 million last-minute attacks included unabashedly racist ads against Barnes, who is black. In the end, Johnson, a skeptic of COVID-19, who was tied to a 2020 Republican scheme to have the state's Republican-dominated legislature choose Wisconsinites' presidential elections, electors, effectively overturn the will of the voters, is what's being said nicely there. Well, Rojo won narrowly, 50.5 to Barnes' 49.5. And with the fate of access to safe abortions on the line, Protasiewicz's campaign, as well as the Democratic and progressive ecosystem at large, will understandably focus on turning out pro-choice white women voters, mostly via ads. Her campaign's messaging is heavily concentrated on protecting abortion rights and painting Kelly as an anti-abortion extremist. Well, they don't have to paint him. He embraces it. Yet there's reason to be concerned that very little of Protasiewicz's campaign funds or any money raised from the outside will be spent on targeting and mobilizing voters of color. According to the census, Wisconsin is about 7% black, 3% Asian, 7.5% Latino, and 1% Native American. Republicans in Wisconsin are well aware of the power of the voters of color and the fact that they tend to vote Democratic. That's why Wisconsin Republicans have been working hard to suppress voters of color and create division between white voters and voters of color, especially in Milwaukee, which is home to close to 70% of the state's black population. An example of saying the quiet part out loud, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Robert Spindell, well, Dom, he's also a false, fraudulent, criminally, I allege, criminal. Robert Spindell, a Republican, gloated after the 2022 election about suppressing and depressing black and brown turnout in Milwaukee. Spindell was tactically admitting that when the multiracial Obama coalition turns out, Republicans lose. Democrats and progressives must increase investing in on-the-ground grassroots organizations with track records of turning out voters of color, especially black voters, and fast. The work of organizations such as Souls to the Polls, Voces de la Frontera, and Workers Center for Racial Justice can make all the difference in this year's most important election. Our democracy can't afford to continue to overlook voters of color. And Andy Wong, the author of this, is the president of PowerPAC, a nonprofit advocacy and political organization dedicated to building political power within communities of color and supporting progressive candidates of color. Now, I am a little concerned about turnout of voters of color, Dom, and it's not homogenous, but I can tell you the folks at Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, I think they were somewhat disappointed after Everett Mitchell had such a poor turnout during the primary. And I think many people felt like the power structure of the Democratic Party had somehow put their weight on the scale on behalf of Janet Protasiewicz. The dollars had all flowed to Protasiewicz.
Right, yeah.
And Everett Mitchell ended up at 7%. And I think Angela Lang said something to the effect, you know, I think I'm going to take a little break. You folks figure this one out. You know, how do you turn out black voters if they feel like they're
not represented on the Supreme Court?
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
Yeah, no doubt. That is a big issue to overcome, no question about it.
I think there was also, and I liked Everett Mitchell. He sat right there. He was in studio. We had him on the show a few times. Tom, obviously, got a little bad press, which was unfortunate. Someone threw some mud out there, and, you know, it eventually would have come to light. But the timing, unfortunate, happened during the primary, and Everett Mitchell, you know, after we saw Mandela Barnes, and some people say, well, the lesson, the takeaway from the Ron Johnson Mandela Barnes campaign is, man, we better be careful about nominating another black candidate statewide. Can they win? That's some people's takeaway from Mandela Barnes' loss. And they were quite shy when it came to supporting the candidacy of Everett Mitchell. And that's why you saw, 93% of the liberal votes. That math may be skewed. Everett Mitchell got about 7% of all votes. Protasiewicz got a significantly larger number. I think it was like 47%. Cumulatively, they had about 54% compared to the conservative candidates that had like 46, which leaves me feeling pretty good overall. You know, women noticed Roe has been overturned. 35% increase in voter turnout over record numbers. So that was all very encouraging. But we saw what they said, Bob Spindell specifically, 27,000 less voters of color in Milwaukee between the 2018 midterms and the 2022 midterms. And Dom, I can't tell you that I am very optimistic that this spring election is going to be any better when it comes to voters of color coming out of Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a tough headwind to get there. And I just don't know, and while I appreciate the comparison, black Mandela Barnes versus black Everett Mitchell, but these are different races. You know what I'm saying? This was a selection of the top two move forward in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. If this were a primary between Everett Mitchell and Protasiewicz, I would imagine Everett Mitchell would probably have had a much better showing. But for some reason, people concerned thought, well, since it's you don't want to split the vote, they wanted to go with where the money was going, and that's where the trend went. So Protasiewicz got it. But those are different elections. If it was Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell on a straight up head to head, Democratic primary, I think it would have been a whole hell of a lot closer.
Here's the question, though. If Mandela Barnes cannot turn out black and brown voters in Milwaukee, how is Janet Protasiewicz going to do so?
Again, big headwinds. It doesn't help when you have the Republican Party, and the guy in the Wisconsin Elections Commission bragging about how they, engaged, quote unquote, and suppressed the Milwaukee voters. That's how they do it. And they actually joked internally with their deliberate their emails that, do we even have an outreach in Milwaukee? Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We have an outreach, 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I see the fraudulent Trump electors, state of Wisconsin, seeking a change of venue. Before we get there, I want to point out we have an insurrectionist serving in the U.S. Congress from Wisconsin's 3rd CD. That's most of the western portion of the state. You can hear us there in Richland Center. Soon La Crosse and Eau Claire and the thumb up by like Stevens Point, that area, Wisconsin Rapids. That's all the 3rd CD. And we've got Derek Van Orden serving in the 3rd CD as an insurrectionist. The guy was literally at the January 6th down.
And he lied about where he was.
And yet he still won election after 26 years of Democratic rule, or at least a Democratic representative in Ron Kind. With Ron's retirement, Van Orden won, mostly by hiding. It's going to be hard to hide from us. I just point that out. But some of the reporting from the Journal Sentinel, Dom, a couple of Democrats thinking about taking a run against Derek Van Orden. I would encourage them to do so, because we'll be a little stronger by then, Dom. A number of familiar Wisconsin Democrats are quietly considering another bid for a battleground congressional seat that their party lost last year. After 26 years under Democratic leadership, the top three Democratic candidates for Wisconsin's 3rd CD in 2022 indicated to the Journal Sentinel they're weighing their options, Dom. A challenge against Republican U.S. Rep. insurrectionist Derek Van Orden in 2024. But the final Democrat in last year's race, State Rep. Senator Brad Paff, who lost to Van Orden by 4 points last November, is reportedly waiting to see whether his national party puts more stock in the race this time around. A source close to Paff told the Journal Sentinel that the Onalaska Democrats' decision could hinge on whether national Democratic groups, like the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Dom, the DCCC, the House Democrats' official campaign arm, show their plan to dedicate resources to winning back the seat. Paff's concerns underscore a key question for Wisconsin Democrats who last November largely placed the blame on their own party for losing the rural swing seat, while national Republican groups poured money into advertising for Van Orden, Dom, the insurrectionist. Democrats in Washington left Paff to rely on his own fundraising as they invested in other races around the country. If national Democrats don't show interest in the race in 24, this source said, Paff will likely run for re-election in the state Senate. What do you think, Tom? Will we have qualified candidates, good candidates? Rebecca Cook, she was the small business owner. She ran. And who's the other one? Deb McGrath. I got her signature on the door here. The former CIA agent, she also ran and fell back in the primary, Tom.
A little bit more here from Lawrence Andrea from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just how involved National Democratic groups will be in the state is not yet clear. The DCCC, which did not invest in any Wisconsin races last year, and let me repeat that for everyone out there, the DCCC, according to this, did not invest in any Wisconsin races last year, has yet to announce which districts it intends to target 2024. That initial list will likely come out in the coming months and could be an early indicator of investment in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, House Majority PAC, Democrats' largest outside group for congressional campaigns, that pulled its advertising reservations in the 3rd Congressional District late in last year's midterm election, indicated this month it will put an early emphasis on New York, where the party lost ground last year. The PAC recently established a $45 million fund to flip seats in the state and claim the road to the majority runs through New York. The group suggested this week it could also look at Wisconsin's 3rd as another battleground. Quote, House Majority PAC will do whatever it takes to ensure a Democratic House majority in 2024, and that includes flipping Wisconsin's 3rd back to blue. C.J. Warnke, a communications director for the group, said in a statement to the Journal Sentinel, the House Majority PAC in January mentioned Van Orden on a list of vulnerable Republicans. Oh, you think insurrectionists are vulnerable? Still, as some Democrats indicate, they could go on the offensive in 2024. Republicans in Washington will be looking to win back the Senate and expand the House majority. The National Republican Congressional Committee recently announced a list of 37 Democratic seats it intends to target this year. NRSC spokesman Chris Gustafson told the Journal Sentinel that Republicans, quote, are on the offense. On the offense, they're offensive, Crudy. This cycle,
they are offensive.
And plan to grow their majority in the House by highlighting the failed leadership of extreme Democrats, led by Joe Biden and Hakeem Jeffries, the top House Democrat. Yeah, nothing like, you know, showing what you're all about by just, you know, criticizing your opponents and not actually putting forth any plan of your own. We're just going to highlight the failed leadership.
Dom, they just put forth their leadership. Guys like insurrectionist Derek Van Orden.
Very, very, very much a great leader, Van Orden. He led at the insurrection. In Wisconsin, however, that could mean defending both Van Orden and Republican State Rep Brian Stiles' 1st Congressional District, which became more competitive with recent redistricting. Yes, let's have some redistricting, please. That's why you got to vote for Janet Protasiewicz. But I digress. A campaign spokesman for Van Orden, who has appeared to try to moderate his image since taking office. Why? That's what got you there, baby.
Dom, we never moderate.
He's speaking on the importance of bipartisanship following a heated and at times vitriolic campaign. Noted the retired Navy SEAL has proposed bills that would create congressional term limits and position himself to make an impact on agricultural issues, an area of huge importance in Wisconsin. Rep Van Orden is hard at work getting the job done for the people of Wisconsin's 3rd, his spokesman said. Sure he is. And he wasn't at the insurrection either, was he? Or he didn't go past the gate. Oh, wait, he did. So you can't really believe a damn word that these people say.
We just need a good, strong candidate in the 3rd CD. Maybe a couple of them. Let him have a primary, Dom. Have it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Take on Van Orden.
And some DCCC support would be helpful. Perhaps some folks in Wisconsin can, you know, if the DCCC isn't going to, you know, fund or pay attention or think it's a priority, I appreciate, yeah, we want to flip it blue. We want to flip it all blue. And I understand there's limited resources, no doubt. But you made some, I think, some poor decisions. Perhaps putting money where races were long gone. Perhaps this one was closer than you thought it was going to be. You know, but these things, this isn't ancient history. I mean, these elections just happen. And we're already talking about the next one. They're every 2 years. So any decisions you make, you can look at pretty recent data and maybe perhaps, you know, alter the plan. Just throwing it out there.
Because the Democrats have such a strong track record of learning from their prior errors.
We're here to just remind them perhaps things would have turned out differently if, you know, different decisions were made. I get it, you know, hindsight 2020 and all that. But, I mean, we're already talking about 2024, man. You know what I'm saying? It's already here. And, yes, I'd love to see those Dems, maybe others, all solid Dems who do a great job representing the people in that district. I have no doubt and would not, I believe, to in my heart, engage in insurrection against this country and then lie about it.
Do you have the issue with the insurrection or the lying about it?
Well, I mean, he wasn't, like, in the Capitol crapping on the walls like his compatriots, but he was in places he said he wasn't, and that I have a big problem with.
Is it? Indictment Monday? You better stick around for the Happier Happy Hour. We'll let you know.